You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is David Gardenstein Ross, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on an apparent homegrown terror plot aimed at synagogues in New York City and military planes in the Empire State. And we also want to get his thoughts briefly on the dueling national security speeches today between the president and former vice president. And David, it's always great to have you with us.
And it's always great to join you, Greg.
Obviously, an FBI sting here. They supplied these people intent on attacking a pair of synagogues as well as military planes with explosives that really weren't. They were inert. What do we know about how far back this investigation goes? And is this the extent of the plot, or are there other layers?
It goes back for well over a year. The criminal complaint actually details a lot of the actions that were taken, including surveillance actions on the part of the defendants in this case, including them expressing multiple times their intention to attack synagogues, to attack military planes, including their purchase of the weaponry. They were duped during the purchase, and the allegations have come out that they actually planted the fake bombs around the synagogues. So there's a lot of evidence here. Generally, in the U.S., terrorist plots get broken up very early because there's much more of a disruptive model that's being taken. The view is that if you disrupt a plot that's in action, that's just as good as waiting for it to play out. If you wait for plots to play out, they may slip through the cracks. One example of that, of course, that's quite famous, is the 7/7 attacks in Britain. In this case, though, they let the plot progress for quite some time, in part because there was excellent policing work. They had an informant go into this case early on. They were able to get a lot of logistical operations done, including being there to supply them with this weaponry that wasn't actually what they wanted, not actually C4, not actually surface-to-air missiles. In terms of whether there was more to the plot that has come out, the criminal complaint seems to be fairly comprehensive. There are questions that remain, including whether these guys were radicalized in prison. There have been some hints of that, including whether there's a connection to international networks. Jaish-e-Mohammed is mentioned in the complaint, but there's no indication that this was a network terrorist plot. Those questions will play themselves out over the coming months.
David, how easy or difficult is it for someone to get their hands on the real weapons needed to carry out something like this?
Well, clearly, you can get your hands on weapons and carry out attacks. You've had several lone wolf terrorist attacks that have been carried out against Jewish targets in this country. You had, for example, in both Seattle and San Francisco, shootings that took place at synagogues. And in Los Angeles, you had a shooting that took place on July 4th, 2002, at the El Al ticket counter at the LAX airport. Now, in order to get your hands on, you know, explosives similar to C4 or Semtech, that's not too difficult. That's not, you know, sophisticated explosive devices. Something like that could slip through the cracks. Now, surface-to-air missiles are more difficult to get. That's one of the things that they wanted to carry out attacks against military planes. So something like that, there's a much greater chance that the federal government would be able to step in, intervene, that you get the FBI or NYPD or some other agency of law on that. But in terms of an attack with explosives, it's not at all impossible. And that's something that we know, of course, because you did have a major attack with explosives occur in the 1990s, the Oklahoma City bombing, where the red flags never went up.
We know that there was a Lackawanna terror cell. There's been other investigations of groups around the country. Just how widespread is this as far as we can tell?
Well, my institute recently released a study on homegrown terrorists in the U.S. and U.K. We had 117 different incidents, 117 individuals who were purely homegrown, that is, born or raised in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in other Western countries, who were a part of that study. Now, what's much less frequent is particularly in the United States, is cells that are actually operational. That is, they're not just providing logistical support, they're not just doing terrorist fundraising, but rather they want to actually carry out an act of terror. The examples of that include the Fort Dix 6, the Liberty City 7, and you have a few others beyond that that were actually going to carry out attacks. The fact that they wanted to carry out an attack here, and they took so much preparatory action to do so, that places this as one of the highly significant terrorist cases in the United States.
About 90 seconds or so left here. David, obviously, we heard from both President Obama and former Vice President Cheney today, two very different philosophies on how to conduct the war on terror. The president saying today that Guantanamo Bay's detention facility will close on time. There will be no enhanced interrogation techniques under his administration. What do you make of what we heard today? And what do we know, since the CIA memos aren't fully released, about just what those techniques accomplished?
Well, the debate about what those techniques accomplish is still very much open. There are some people, and people who have experience with interrogations, who say waterboarding don't get you anything at all, that they're ineffective. You have others with a lot of interrogation experience who have the opposite side of the story, say that these are effective techniques. There's an open question as to whether these are effective techniques or not. But what is clear is that by releasing the memoranda, the Obama administration has tipped the hand of the United States as to what we think the absolute legal limits of what can be done to suspected terrorists is. And that's something which in itself is dangerous, because we know that al-Qaeda conducts its training with the U.S.'s techniques and the techniques of other Western states in mind. This certainly will be incorporated into the training that al-Qaeda operatives receive in the future. There shouldn't be any question about that. As to the debate between Obama and Cheney, a lot of things that Obama has said simply cannot be believed. He claimed, for example, that nobody who poses a national security threat to the United States will be released under his watch. Is not the case, because you had a number of recidivists that were released from Guantanamo Bay under the Bush administration. You've had others released under the Obama administration. There simply isn't a 100% effective way to tease out which of these guys will be dangerous, which ones will return to the battlefield, and which ones won't. To that extent, a claim that you won't have dangerous people released from Guantanamo Bay simply can't be believed. It's just not true.
David, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you, sir, for your insight and expertise, as always.
My pleasure.
David Gardenstein-Ross is Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is Dateline Washington.